This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Welcome to this edition of Cravings. My name is Tad Lombardo, and our host Peter Dillon has got an annual leave day today, so we'll be flying solo today, so hopefully all goes well. In the studio with me today, I have Vicky Lang and Matthew Butcher. Vicky is a bit of a food personality and is the author of 15 books, a food presenter on TV and radio, a food consultant, and you've also done some campaigns for the Mushroom Growers Association, Australian Asparagus Council, and also the Victorian Cherry Association. And, of course, Matthew Butcher is the head chef at Morris Jones in Windsor, and comes very well acclaimed with working with Gordon Ramsay, Shannon Bennett, and Ryan Clift, which is pretty incredible. So we're going to be talking a few things today about we're going to talk about fresh produce, what's in season, we'll talk about Christmas and whatever banter else comes along. So welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ted.
Great to have
you
guys here.
My resume doesn't hold up to Vicky's.
No, it does.
But I've lived many, many years longer than you, so there I have
not too many.
I've lived a long time.
Oh, well, that's all right. Vicky, what's in season at the moment?
Oh, of course, there's the beautiful cherries, although the cherry season's been a bit slow to start.
Yep.
There's not as bountiful a supply as you'd normally find, but they're gorgeous big cherries, so just watch out for them at the markets. And if there's not as many around as usual, that's the reason. Just a slow season, the cool weather, and in New South Wales and some other areas, rain has
yep.
caused some damage as well.
Yep.
But it's definitely watch out for them. They're just so rich in nutrients, but apart from anything, they're just so gorgeous to look at and eat.
What's your favourite recipe made with cherries?
Fresh, absolutely, just the fresh
just
cherries.
Just fresh, okay.
But I've, as I said, just recently, I've decided I would pit the cherries and roast them in maple syrup because I'm a bit of a roasting queen.
Oh, okay.
I like to really roast things to bring out the flavour.
That's all right.
And I'm going to mix them up for a lovely dessert.
How about you, Matthew? What's your favourite recipe with using cherries?
I like to use cherries on savoury dishes, actually,
yep.
a lot. So I've just brought in the summer menu at Morris Jones yesterday.
Yep.
So we're using the cherries, local cherries at the moment, with a Gippsland duck breast. So we braise the cherries in a red wine, a spiced red wine,
yep.
and sugar syrup, and then obviously pot them so there's no
yep.
Pips in them,
right.
And then we serve it with some corn sukkotosh.
Sounds so beautiful.
With beautiful leek puff pastry, crisp
beautiful.
On top as well. So
beautiful.
But I think earlier, Vicky and I were discussing what her recipe with the maple syrup and vanilla bean ice cream, so I'm sure
yep.
later on today it could be a yeah. bit of a treat for me for dessert,
yeah.
so I think.
Good.
And can I mention with the meats and things, and of course I'm vegetarian, so I would use a good fallback is the Sakonaki style cheese or the halloumi or roasted ginger tofu, as long as we've got lots of flavour. But what the other thing I do, being a roaster, is roast pitted half cherries with chilies and red onions and things for a savoury dish and garlic.
Beautiful.
And that would probably go well with some of your sorts of things. But it's such an easy thing to do. And cherries, I agree, savoury or sweet, they're just
amazing.
They work
amazing. Well.
Yep. Maybe you can do a bit of consulting with me.
Get our heads together. The best of both worlds. That would be good.
I'll tell you my least favorite dish using cherries, clafouti.
You don't like?
In my mind, it's overrated. I don't know why. I've never had a really good one that I've enjoyed.
I don't think I've had one for about 10 years since I was with Shannon at Vudemont.
Right.
So I wasn't a big fan, but... Yeah.
But that's all right. Moving into to this season too, obviously, you know, the cherries have made the news about, you know, obviously the fact that you were explaining earlier, the problems with the climate and that sort of thing, and it increases the price a bit. But again, I think a lot of times it's, you know, one of those scenarios where media outlets like to just attach to that kind of thing and create a bit of furor because people will think they can't get cherries and things like that.
They
and
panic,
They're readily available and there's no need to panic.
No, I agree. And especially as we get closer to Christmas, I know when you and I are both passionate supporters of Pran Market and the retailers who are very passionate about cherries, and you would know this too, Matthew, and that when you're going out for Christmas or you're wanting to travel, you've got to go travel through traffic and get to someone's place.
Yeah.
It's nothing better than taking a beautiful kilo box of the best cherries. They might be expensive. Big cherries, but whether your host or hostess opens them that day, it doesn't matter. They're so easy to put in a bowl, and it's lovely balance to all the other, you know, quite, you know, sort of rich fare that we eat at that time of the year. But they're just a beautiful thing to have, and they're like Christmas baubles.
Absolutely.
It's one of my favourite parts of summer is cherries.
The cherries,
I get so excited with having cherries in season.
And mangoes. Oh, I love mangoes are my favourite. And when I've moved to Queensland a few times, and I kept buying boxes of mangoes. The kids are going, aren't you sick of them yet? And I'm going, never. I just adore mangoes. All the different types have different nuances as well.
But interestingly enough, I never realised this, but cherries stop ripening once you've picked them. I never knew that.
Yeah, same with pineapples. Often people wait for the pineapple, but then it looks beautiful in the fruit bowl, and then it just gets rotten. You best with a pineapple just to cut it up. They had a campaign once couple of years ago, cut it, chomp it, cut it, chill it, chomp it. Good idea. You can cut it up, have it in chunks, whatever, however you want to use it, slices, put it in the fridge. Oh, I'm going to use that pineapple rather than thinking, oh, I've got to cut the blooming thing up.
Yeah,
you know, so those sorts of things are good.
Yep. We're going to have some community service announcements shortly, and Matthew, when you come back, we'll see a bit more what's happening at Morris Jones, and we'll talk more about vegetables.
Hi, I'm Manny Fidel, and you are with Pete Dillon on Cravings on Joy 94.9.
And we're back. The weather outside in Melbourne today is absolutely beautiful. It's 18 degrees, and we have a top of 23 today. Again, we've got Vicky Lang and Matthew Butcher, and... Matthew, we're going to talk about what you're about. You know, I've done a bit of research on you. I've known you for a couple of years now, and you grew up in a milk bar in Western Victoria. Is that right?
I did indeed.
Yeah.
With my parents. I think that's where I sort of first found the passion for food. Watching my parents cook in a little milk bar, takeaway food shop. My dad was known for his burgers. Same story I tell every time. And my mum's work ethic, I think that's the combination between the two made me into... sort of the chef I am now. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, and then moved on to Echuca when I was 15 and started working at a little Taco Bell restaurant.
Yeah.
And new food was forever. So, and here we are 13 years later.
And do your parents still have the place in Echuca?
No.
No, okay.
No. Oh, well, it was in Western Victoria and then we moved to Echuca when we were 15. So.
Oh, okay.
But a little country town called Penshurst was. It was about a population of 500.
Right.
So not many. So, but yeah, then Echuca is now my home and my parents' home.
Right.
Well, Melbourne's
great.
Now my home, but Echuca is where my parents are. So
family. And you and I have a bit of an anniversary.
We
tomorrow,
do indeed.
Actually, sort of.
I think it was
not
actually
in a weird way.
2 years ago I was on this show as well.
Yeah.
I think I was talking about our dinner we were doing. So.
And I can't believe that's been 2 years ago. And, you know, we sort of, you know, partnered up and did this incredible dinner for 40 people one night and had a second night. And, it was all about the food and chocolate, and it was a great experience. It was a lot
of fun.
People
still talk about
it. I know they do.
That mezzanine room for like a whole table full of chocolate and liquid nitrogen everywhere. In fact, they felt like they were in the snow.
Yeah.
With all the beautiful chocolate homes.
It was great. It was really good.
It was
good.
An amazing night.
So yeah, it was.
Well, that's because you're an amazing chocolatier.
Oh, well, thank you.
Dad.
You're amazing.
I'm very, very fond of you. I've been for a long time.
Thanks very much.
And I'm just so blessed to be here for you creating history today, your first show.
Yeah.
How exciting.
It is very exciting.
By yourself, right in solo.
I know. So far, so good.
Oh, you were game to invite me. And I'm sure Matthew will be well behaved, and I will be too. But thank you very much. Because
thank you for coming.
It's when I heard Joy, I think, oh, I love Joy. That's how I run my life.
Well, and you know, Joy's just had a huge anniversary on the 2nd of December, 23 years, which is pretty amazing and great for our community. And it provides a voice, which is really, really important. And, you know, I'm really proud to be a part of this and to, you know, have something to do with it and hopefully have a positive impact as well. So it's great all the way around. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. And you've got a few new things happening.
Yeah. Matthew? So I'm sort of working a lot of outside projects. This year has been a big year for me and the team. So apart from sort of running Morris Jones, I've got a new project we're working on for the start of January called Mr. and Mrs. P. In Brighton, in Bay Street.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Which is going to be an amazing little charcuterie and speakeasy cocktail bar.
Right.
Which is at 312 Bay Street in Brighton.
Just excellent.
Chucking it.
Yeah, you got to do that. Is there a website?
Definitely.
Not yet. Okay. The website's being built as we speak, but it is on Instagram, Mr. Yep. and Mrs. P.
Okay.
So watch out for that one. So that one will be really fun. And then also, as we were talking earlier, I've sort of been working on aged care facility food. Yep. So I've been working closely with the catering company and I've sort of become the consultant executive chef for Grand Cedar Aged Care in Ashwood, their first one. So sort of, you know, lunch by Matthew Butcher one day a week there.
That's great.
Which is really challenging, but really rewarding in the same time.
That's good.
But apart from that, the US Masters, the golf,
I
was fortunate enough to go back over there this year and cook over there for 250 people over the 10 days.
Sounds pretty intense.
It was it's very fun.
Yeah.
It's this is the best part about being a chef, that you get the blessing of traveling and being able to cook and do what you love to do and travel, which is two of my most favorite things to do. So
and you've very recently lucky. Come back from Europe, haven't you?
I did.
Yeah, I saw did. That.
I had some work in the States, and then we actually, my brother and two sisters, we purchased tickets for my parents to travel to London.
Oh, that's nice.
Actually, that was their Christmas present last year. So we took them away in October this year and took them on a trip of a lifetime.
That's
which
great.
Was amazing. Through Europe. So went through, we had some amazing food experiences over there also. Through Paris, through London, and then through, we drove through Italy for 10 days.
Wow.
You know, I was just searching for them little restaurants with the nonna coming out with the meat cleaver trying to kill the kids. That's what I was searching for. Everyone's trying to look at all the, you know, the history and, you know, the churches, and I'm just looking for crazy chefs. But, you know, it was an amazing experience.
That's great. It's great to do that when you're traveling, because some of the best experiences you have and that you remember are those food experiences, even ones that you're not necessarily searching for. Vicky, do you have any food experiences that are memorable for you, you know, that stand out in your mind that have had an impact?
I think it's, I haven't done all the travelling that Matthew's done, but I know when I was in Kuala Lumpur and I hadn't felt terribly well on the plane, and I'm like, oh, and I just eat fruit and just try and clean. But the next day we went out and had some spicy dishes for breakfast and homemade roast, and it was just the most amazing food. It was just a little family restaurant. It was just amazing. And then you try and give a tip and they go, no, they don't really want a tip, but they just want you to tell other people. So I came back the next day with 16 people.
That's amazing.
So it was more those simple things where it's really genuine family food, and I love food, but I'm really more people focused. So even when I go to a beautiful restaurant, I'm more with the people and enjoying the food, but you know, sort of the food is something that unites us all together, and it's really the sociability of it that I really love. And I love what I'm not sure exactly what you're doing with the aged care, but I just think anything
you should, because I saw you earlier stalking me on the internet.
I did. I was looking at Morris Jones.
Only just begun.
But I love the idea of food is so important, and when you sort of feel you'd be a bit lost, you know, there's all those different tensions, you know, people in institutions and so on. And I think it's just something that would give that brightness to the day, and that someone cares enough to look at doing a special humanly enjoyable menu, I think is magnificent. And they're the sorts of things that really touch my heart. So, and I love the passion of the chef, because I don't go to a vegetarian restaurant necessarily. I like Baikiman and Shakuhari, and I think it's his restaurant in South Melbourne as well. He's got an amazing way with food, but I usually go to a restaurant where it's not necessarily vegetarian, but the chef is passionate about fresh produce and passionate about what they do, and that's got a flavour all of its own.
I think Morris Jones is next on your agenda. Then.
Definitely. Absolutely. Is, and the family, because as you know, one of my sons adores meat, and he grew up with me being vegetarian for many, many years, and his fiancée is a vegetarian chef, but she cooks meat for him.
And I mean, as a vegetarian, do you first of all, what made you turn?
What made me?
And we don't judge. We don't judge here. This is
like
Joy 94.9. But
well, I tried. No, I turn. I love that terminology. I trained as a home economics teacher. Yeah. Funnily enough, I was going to be a kindergarten teacher, because I loved people. But I trained in food nutrition, and I had to cook meat and train and cook brains and all sorts of things, and they weren't very nice because we did a terrible job with them. But then I had a little house in Turidon. Put a little house there, and I was driving along the South Gippsland Highway, and we stopped at lights, and then next to me was this little truck with little lambs peeping out at you, and I thought, oh, I'm going to go home and roast one of your legs. I just felt like really bad about it. And so I thought, I've never really been a passionate person for meat. I grew up as a competitive swimmer in my teenage years, and we all had to, in those days, it was a high protein, sort of bit of a culture in those days. But I didn't like meat that much, but I had to eat. My mum was a terrible cook. She used to do lamb thigh and bacon and kidneys. It was terrible because it wasn't well produced.
My mum was an amazing cook.
She did her best. But I think then I was sort of more favoured seafood, and we lived on Aspendale Beach for a while. Not on the beach. We actually had a house, but wasn't homeless. But we used to go out flounder fishing. And then later I think, God, it wasn't really fair. They're just lying there. You just fear them. So, but then our neighbours would gut the fish and we'd have them for breakfast. But then after a while I thought, I don't really, haven't missed meat.
But you eat fish?
No.
Oh, you're not?
No,
okay.
Then I thought, I haven't had fish or meat for a while. And then I went on. And then I went, when I was doing Vicky the Veggio and my recipes, I did a lot of vegan style food just to show I could do an eggless pavlova or this or that, just for fun.
Right.
But it was more, because I love experimenting with food and coming up with new recipe ideas. And then after a little while, I thought, I haven't had meat for a while. And I'd actually naturally progressed. And then that's in the 70s, and I haven't really missed meat, but I'm not an anti-meat person. I just love that sort of food for myself.
Have you ever fallen off the fence, the bandwagon there? Or have you ever said at one point?
I've never hidden in a cupboard and eaten
that's
a
okay.
steak. Well, that's what, sometimes I've done talks and people might come along and go, are your children vegetarian? I'm like, no. And they're going, that's terrible. They might be from a vegetarian society or something. I go, no, because it's a personal thing. I don't want to make, my kids vegetarian. It's what they choose. Otherwise, they're going to be in the brewery cupboard eating a Big Mac or something. I want people to do what naturally feels right.
I feel like that's happening a lot more now, though, as well. A lot more people are going more vegetarian. More vegan. It's a lot healthier world now compared
to sometimes progress through it, though. It's hard to pin down research on how many people are vegetarian, because they might be vegetarian for a while, especially young girls, for humane reasons, and weight. People think you'll lose weight and all sorts of things, which is really, it's a healthy diet and just natural, physical activity and common sense, boring stuff that helps you with that. But the thing is that then people might travel and think, oh, I won't eat much meat, it's expensive, or I can eat this instead or whatever. But then people become vegetarian, but sometimes they think, oh, then I just crave chicken or meat. And so people, I think, sometimes transition through these things, come back and visit it more. Yeah. But it doesn't really matter as long as they're happy and healthy.
Yeah, well, that's right. And you have a special menu, Matthew, at the restaurant for vegetarian
offerings? Yeah, so we launched a vegan menu.
Full-on vegan.
Yeah, one of my closest friends, Peter Siddle, he's vegan, him and his fiancée vegan. So one night I invited him into the restaurant and I thought, let's have a crack at vegan. And they absolutely loved it. So I was like, maybe it could be a hit. And ever since we put it on, it's become like about 35% of our clientele, which is huge. So, but I think not only for health and for personal reasons, I think a lot of what you said, they go come in and out of eating meat. I think a lot to do with cost as well. To get produce these days, meat especially, it's very, very, very expensive.
It is, yeah. So for the good quality stuff, especially, want for the restaurant. Yeah,
and I think a lot of people are eating better quality produce now, because they don't, it's healthier for you. Yeah. So And everyone's more into what's in it now, and you know, the hormones and what's it been fed, and so you know.
And I think the humane treatment, because I get on really well with butchers, like Gary the butcher. And I think maybe because butchers are quite gregarious and but the thing you're Matthew Butcher. But the thing is that if people are a little bit more aware about just being conscious of wherever your produce or your livestock or whatever comes from and how it's treated. So. Yeah.
All right. We've got to have a few more messages, community service announcements, so we will be back right after this.
Bonjour. I am Gabriel Gatte. You are listening to Cravings with Peter Dillon on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Okay. We're back with Vicky Lang and Matthew Butcher, and we're talking all things food and being a vegetarian or not, whatever you choose to do. We're going to take it a little bit different direction. I'd like to know, Vicky, what do you do for a Christmas menu? You know, I've got somebody who is having a friend who's having about 14 people over, and I think a fair whack of them are vegetarians. So what does your Christmas menu look like?
Yeah, mine, it varies each year because I've got children who have to go to other, like in-laws or their father's place or whatever, and I just sort of always like to keep things really flexible.
Yep.
So we either meet for breakfast, brunch or lunch or dinner or after. And so no matter what meal it is, I usually do centre-of-the-table shared platters, and people who are vegetarian or vegan can choose, oh, that one. You know, it's got the beautiful dips and the those, you know, the thyme or the mint on top. And, you know, so you might have, whether it's little cashew balls or just little, like instead of a vegetarian burger, made into bite-sized pieces, because we tend to overeat at Christmas, and that my style of menu is grazing.
Yes.
And why I love the platters, that sort of more Mediterranean, and the sharing style is that we all chat and look at one another and pass the platter, someone pours the wine, and you know, then I think, oh, I've got that rocket fuel in the fridge, and it's just a semi-dried tomato, lots of garlic, I'm a garlic queen, and chilies and macadamias, and just blended together into this beautiful creamy dip that is blows your brains out a bit, but it's not, I don't like bland, why eat it if it's just ordinary, just
in kind of
just nutrition. So we do these really in pesto from the garden, whether it's asparagus or broccolini or some beautiful fresh green vibrant one. So just some of those selections of dips and platters and roasted veggies, mushrooms. I love roasted Swiss browns, you know, whether they're just not the huge ones, but that you can sort of have with some of those creamy dips, or when you're roasting your veggies, throw in some
balsamic
cubes of feta and balsamic glaze
makes a difference.
And remember I told you about the little pan-fried caramelized mushrooms, the little baby Swiss browns thrown in a hot pan. They can be served cold too, but hot pan, a little bit of garlic olive oil again, and just throw the mushies in until they just start to brown. Throw in, whether it's your own homemade sweet chili sauce or the shop bought, throw in a splash of that and that'll caramelize, and then a splash of reduced balsamic vinegar, and in 2-3 minutes it's caramelized beautiful glossy brown mushrooms, and inside they're just al dente.
That's excellent.
You can throw cashews or whatever, macadamias, whatever else.
You better chop me some paper.
I was just going to say,
but they're so quick and easy.
Matthew, as a chef, are you stuck cooking on Christmas
Day?
Really? Oh, good.
Never.
Okay. I'm happy to hear that.
My mum's probably listening to this, and I tell you, they're trying to get me to cook one day, and there's not a chance.
My mother's listening too, all the way in New Jersey. I just got an email. So, my mum. But what is the menu in your
Our menu
homework?
Doesn't change.
Okay.
It's always stocks the same.
Yeah.
So, it's amazing. I mean, Christmas Day is my favorite holiday.
Yeah.
But we always have Christmas at our home. My dad will never leave home on Christmas Day, even though I'm trying to convince him to have a white Christmas in New York, which I'll keep doing. Pops, if you're listening.
I'm doing that this year, by the way.
Oh,
first time
jealous.
In 20 years.
Beautiful.
Jealous.
Yeah.
But we always have Christmas lunch is our main focus.
Yeah.
We generally have between sort of 15 to 25 people over.
Yeah.
And we always start with chicken soup. So my nana's chicken soup, we always start with.
Yeah.
That's generally mum hasn't burnt it, which out of the last couple of years.
Can you burn chicken soup?
She's 90% rate going burnt right now. So
really?
Yes.
How do you burn chicken soup?
Well, it's called having a cheap pot, Tad.
Oh, okay.
You know this, wouldn't you? It would have happened before.
I do, yeah.
So, and to me, obviously. So chicken soup to start.
Yep.
And then we have a massive table full of shared platters of the normal roast pork with crackle, of course, my favourite, applesauce, roast lamb, chicken, roast chicken and stuffing, and then all the sides you could possibly ask for, honey, carrots, green peas, mum that normally boils for way too long. And, you know, cauliflower cheese, all the sides you'd have with mainly a roast. And we all sit there, and obviously, you know what Christmas here is in Melbourne, it's summer.
Definitely, yeah.
So we sit down in 35-degree heat and eat lunch and sweat. Put the hats on and play with the bonbons and off we go. And we always start, we always try and finish with a speech where Mum will always cry, generally. So. Is that
the goal, to make Mum cry?
Generally. We always try and make her cry in the mornings when we give her the Christmas presents, like last year with the tickets to London.
Sure.
But so this year, I don't know how we're going to make it work this year, because we can't really beat that, can we?
Well, so, I guess if she didn't know that you do that intentionally, she would know now if she's listening. Yeah. So,
but you know all the love food. That's what my kids call my food, love food, Mum. Yeah. You've got any of that love soup in the freezer? Because, you know, it's food is what you talked about, your mum's, the chicken soup, or your grandma was your mum's chicken soup.
My nana's. Yeah.
Nana's chicken soup. And someone always wants to do the plum pudding because it's what it's their part of their contribution to the table.
Absolutely.
I just think that is a powerful. There's nothing that tastes better than love.
Someone
preparing the food.
It's history.
There's so much love in that, in this food that we have. Yeah. Even to dessert, and then finish off the night with seafood. So
I was going to say, do the seafood.
Seafood at nighttime.
Yep.
So it's a full-on day with food. I generally sneak off in the afternoon for a few hours nap. But but it's all about food on Christmas Day for our family, which is...
Same with mine.
You know, which is love, and that's how food should be shared with your loved ones. So.
Yeah. Moving away from food, you brought up some kitchen disasters with your mom, but I'm sure you've had
a fair few.
Okay, what's your worst kitchen disaster that you want to admit to? And again, we
My worst kitchen... Disaster? Yeah. My one? Oh, I don't know where to start, mate. I have no idea where to start. I generally, in the kitchen now, I have about 10 chefs at Morris Jones. So I don't get in there as much as I can, where I want to, because they always try and kick me out. But I've got this thing for putting something in the oven and then drifting off somewhere else.
Right.
So
fair enough.
I think last week we made this squid ink brioche.
Oh.
This is the most recent one. Yeah. And we bake it and then we dehydrate it. But silly me thought, jump in, help the chefs out. And, you know, I'll put it in the oven, start baking it. And you know what? 3 hours later, I say, let's get ready for service, guys. Let's go. And then, what's all that smoke in the oven? And it was my brioche. So you can only imagine having eight young, arrogant chefs looking at me thinking, chef, what are you doing? what are you doing? So, but that's one of my recent disasters.
That's all right.
So.
I'm sure you wouldn't have had a go at them if they burnt the brioche, right?
I probably would. So that's why I just had a bit of a giggle and I walked away. I said, you guys take care of it. Take care of it. So, amongst a lot more, back in when I worked on Kitchen Nightmares, Tad with Gordon, there's a lot of disasters there.
A lot of swearing, too.
Yeah, a lot of swearing. Yeah. So we'll skip that one.
Yeah.
So can you beat that, Vicky? Or?
Yeah.
I've had a few. I was just thinking, I've got to tell more than one if I'm quick.
You've got time.
Well, the first time when, because I love making my own homemade bread, and sometimes I've got a bread making machine too, when you think, I'm busy or I'm at the computer or whatnot, just chuck everything. Yeah, but it's a good one. And you chuck it in, you put the seeds, and I'm always using the spelt flour and lots of seeds and linseeds and sunflower seeds. You know, pepitas, all those. The first time I used two seeds, I forgot they're very thirsty. And it's like this combustor brick was like briquette.
Because
you have to obviously soak them in water first. And I was going, why is a bread making machine going jumping around?
Right.
But there's that. And the other thing is when I used to cook for health food shops and cook for a little restaurant up in Surfers Paradise many years ago, we do these topless vegetarian pies when they had the topless meat amaze and so on. We thought we'd do topless pies before those cheese vegetarian pies. What do you think I said?
Vicky, I zoned off for a second. Topless.
But we did.
Tad's eyes lit up, and I was like,
"We did these really
about?
Voluptuous looking pies that were, you know, people want to sort of like make lots and sell lots and make more money. But these ones are really generous. I think if you make it, you charge a bit more, but it's so I had this really no fillers or anything. Lots of vegetables, the pumpkin that cooks down a bit, everything, all the garlic and onion and stuff. So you make this big pot of vegetables, and then you'd do the wholemeal little crusts. We're doing them all individually in these, you know, sort of handmade, and then fill them to the peak, and then some cheese, and then grill and bake them. So then you've got fresh tomato and parsley. They were really like a whole meal in a pie. They were very popular. But when we were doing the big filling, pots of filling, then we were sort of like, what's this? You've done this, all the chopped veggies, this great big pot of filling, and you think, I didn't put spinach in it, and it was the Brillo pad that was in
what
the Brillo pad. There's someone had washed the big pot, put it up
Get
on
out.
A thing, so you had to start. Well, we did. You had to start again. But and then my sister, was at a friend's place and she was eating a spanakopita. she's like soaring through. She's like, it won't cut. And she's really embarrassed because she didn't. And then someone had washed the spinach in the sink and it had one of the sort of scarab heads.
Oh, no.
And she's like, and no, so I'm sure there'd be a funny book in The Funny Things Happen on the Way to the Kitchen. I've been actually writing, putting something like this together for years, and I think everyone has got stories about that.
I've got one great one, Tad,
Let's
about my mother.
A few
years ago, we still talk about this on Christmas Day. And so my mum likes to get organised for Christmas and with all the food. And one night she decided to roast the pork the night before, didn't she? And I don't know what happened, but I don't think she might have left it out overnight. And we're sitting there with the whole family. There would have been probably about 40 of us at this stage. And they start cutting through the pork, and you can only imagine what's popping out of it.
Extra protein.
Yep, some maggots.
Oh, no. Value added.
So it comes up every Christmas now.
Oh,
it's
no.
Hilarious. I'm sorry, Mum.
Well, I've got one. It's not actually me, though. It's actually my father's.
It's always
years
a friend.
And years ago. It is always a friend. But you know how the, I don't know, you can get some, the soap, the dish soap containers look similar sometimes to, back in the States, depending on the brand, you know, to the oil that you could use. And, you know, unfortunately, the oil was kept next to the dish soap. And my father was making a salad and dressing it up and all sort of stuff. And my poor brother Michael was like just a kid and not into vegetables. And he's like, oh, no, Dad, this doesn't taste right. And he was really like, no, I can't eat it. And my father's getting angry with him. No, you eat the salad, eat your greens and all that sort of stuff. And my dad went and had a taste of it. And he's like, it's like frothing in his mouth. It's just, you know, because it was soap. It was awful. That was not me, so that's fine. But, yeah, so those things do happen. But it's quite interesting that you do recover. And it's always different if it happens at home versus in a restaurant where, you know, your name's on the sign.
From the restaurant scene.
Yeah, that's right.
We don't
want
any happen,
things happening. So.
No, that's right. But they are sort of fun to hear about, and everybody's human and everybody makes mistakes.
I blew my son's brains out. Well, not really. Oh. No. Oh. I got your attention.
Wait a minute.
No. Do you want me to tell? Or no?
You've got to go. If you've got 30 seconds.
Just
to
here,
tell
me. We had this I had this beautiful big orange plate, and I always like to make sushi. It's something when everyone arrives and everything. So, and then I put, you know, the little wasabi, little dots, because it looks so gorgeous on the plate.
Yeah.
And I was really extravagant with the wasabi on there. I put it on the nori as well. And my son goes, he dips it in. He's got smoke coming out of his nose and his ears.
Oh,
well, I'm going, oh, you wuss. And then, so my other son had one even without dipping it, and he just had the same, and I had a taste. So we had to try and mop out the extra wasabi from the rolls, because there were so many of them, they were beautiful, but I just got overexcited.
Your poor kids.
But my kids love it. They still keep coming back.
Yeah, they do. I know. That's all right. We are going to have some more community service announcements and some sponsorship announcements, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Cravings on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
We've just added a fresh batch of new podcasts to the Joy website. Head to joy.org.au/chickstalkingfooty to hear the girls talking about the CTF's first season highlights. Check out joy.org.au/CandyCDryFactory to catch Chris and Cam give a #RosieDog update, as well as talking exciting uni degrees and celebrity news. See joy.org.au/BeenThereDoneThat to celebrate the 23rd anniversary of Joy Melbourne going to air and to recognize World AIDS Day 2016. Or simply head to our latest podcast feed at joy.org.au/podcasts. Joy podcasts where you want them, when you want them, via the Joy website and iTunes.
Hi, I'm Anna De Silva, and you're listening to Cravings with Pete Dillon on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Okay, we're back in the studio with Vicky Lang and Matthew Butcher. We're talking all things food, what's happening in Melbourne with you know, new seasonal produce, and what's going on in Matthew's life, and what else is happening, you know, moving forward into 2017. It's not that far off. We are just a couple of weeks out of Christmas, and then here we are.
Well, I'm really excited for Mr. and Mrs. P.
That's really
cool. Which we spoke about earlier.
Is there a date for that?
Not yet, okay. But it's gonna. I think it'll be around the 4th to the 7th of January. So
that's exciting.
Super excited about that one. Obviously, the Morris Jones. There's always so much going on. Morris Jones.
Yep.
It's a beast, that place. But yeah, that's what my main, you know, they're my two main focuses at the moment.
Yep.
Working on a nice little charcuterie menu, which I know Vicky wouldn't be very impressed with.
Oh, it would be for other people like it, but I probably would choose something else, which I'm sure you'd create some vegetarian delights.
Yeah, we've got some good vegetarian delights. But we bought this meat slicer in Italy. Obviously, I just travelled through there. But my parents and I, my family, we discovered this meat slicer. You turn the wheel and it slices. Yep. And in Dijon, actually not in Italy, through Paris.
Yep.
Sorry, France. And then, funnily enough, I get back and we've actually got one for Mr. and Mrs. P. So
cool.
Excited to get that moving. And then I've just started working on the menus for the US Masters, which is coming up very, very quickly.
When is that again? Is it
April?
April. Okay.
So I fly out the end of March. So.
Right. That's really good.
So, next year is going to be a big year. Big year for myself and the team. So
that's
I'm
great.
I'm sure it's a big year for Vicky because having 15 books, and she's going to do a lot of consulting with me from now on, I think.
Right. Oh, yeah, that'd be fun. I'd really love to. I love your style. No, how much passion you have.
Did you see that when you were stalking me earlier?
Yeah. No, I looked up
That's
Morris
only the
Jones,
beginning.
Because I thought I might have been following you on Instagram.
Maybe. But,
not personally.
I don't know, Vicky.
No, I have a few cafes and restaurants that follow my little site, just because I'm always coming up with something new with fresh produce, and I think sometimes as chefs have been trained a lot in protein centre plate and then the extra things being always looking for new ideas, and that's why social medias can be very handy for that sort of thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Next question. It's a tough one. You guys ready for it? One of the things we have, we always ask our guests when they come in, your secret food shame. So Matthew, what's your secret food shame?
My secret food shame?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's shame, but my treat, what I love, and I really should not say this, is a McChicken burger from McDonald's with a steamed bun.
Oh, there you go.
It's funny
with
enough,
a steamed bun.
Funnily enough, it'd probably be my last two meals I'd eat on planet Earth. That and my mum's roast lamb, but I mean, people look at me like I'm an idiot because it's like McDonald's. And I'm not giving him a shout or anything like that. I'm just
the new spot. No, the US ambassador. Right.
There's a new burger by Matthew Butcher.
I'd love to do a burger at McDonald's, though. But no, that's. I mean, I don't know if I'm so ashamed of it, but a lot of people tell me that I should be ashamed.
You shouldn't be ashamed. So. I think everybody is, if they haven't had one, even you, Vicky Lang, is lying if they have never had a burger from McDonald's. What's your secret?
That is
Vicky?
So funny because I think it was in the 70s of McDonald's. Opened and my kids were literally going, we want to go to McDonald's, we want to go to McDonald's. I'm going, I'm not going there. And then we drive through and they go, talk in there, Mum. Like, I'm not talking to a bin. And they're going, no, talk. And someone goes, can I take your order? I'm not going to roll from it. And then I ordered, we tried it once, and I ordered them whatever they wanted, a cheeseburger or Big Mac. And then I ordered a Big Mac without the patty and whatever, and they got really confused. I said, what do we give her? But anyway, because I went through with the kids, I never did again. And not knocking McDonald's, it just wasn't my style of food. But I don't have, and you talked about the food shame, I'm not really ashamed of any, but what I get a bit addicted to.
I think I know what your food shame is.
What's that?
A bucket of KFC.
No, it's not my. But the thing is, remember I told you about the Turkish Delight? Nahida's Turkish Delight from Primarket. Oh, she's got the most. I don't eat a lot of like lollies or sweets. It's just not my style. But every now and then I chop them up and use them in ingredients. So I chopped up her amazing Turkish Delight with rose water, etc. And then I put it through the vanilla. Well, it's because I love vanilla bean ice cream.
But
how
do you eat that when there's gelatin in
it? With a spoon? No. No, but it doesn't. She said it's got vegetable gum. Or am I wrong? Maybe I've been eating.
No, there's a lot of.
There's different ways you can do it.
Yeah, because I asked her if it was vegetarian. Right. But so I chopped that up and mixed it in with a vanilla bean ice cream. And then it infused over a few days. Uh-huh. And I added, because I've been making these ice cream cakes with the best ice cream that you can get. I didn't make it myself, but I mixed it with Greek yogurt. So it's that, and then fruit, whether it's roasted cherries or strawberries or whatever, and pomegranate. And I just layer these different layers of the a springform tin, and at the top you add the raspberries and pomegranate seeds, maybe some edible blossoms, and that's an ice cream cake.
I don't think that's anything to be ashamed of, though.
No, but when I made the Turkish Delight ice cream and I had it in, put it back in the little tub, I couldn't stop going back to it all through the day because I work at home.
Was it a pint or something? Or just
no, I didn't eat a whole pint. I just every day I had to go and have more until it was gone. Then I was so relieved because I didn't have to think about it anymore. Okay. And that's not so much.
What's yours, Tad?
Yeah.
What's mine? You know what? It would be a Kit Kat bar, and I've already admitted that on this show before, so it would be a Kit Kat bar.
Yeah,
it's hard to go past.
I'm still fond of the Kit Kat bar.
Yeah, not all the time. Hmm? What?
Come on, really?
Yeah, let's get back to your real shame, Vicky, because that wasn't it.
That was definitely
what is it? You're going to educate me? I don't know.
A Kit Kat bar.
I thought you said a Kit Kat bar.
Oh, I was going to say, what rock do you live under?
When you, that's what I was going to go, I don't know what it is.
Oh. Sorry, Vicky. A Kit Kat bar.
That's not my, that doesn't get my imagination as much as the Kit Kat bar. You both go past, so let's go in and we'll be kicked out.
No, not at all. Not at all. Okay, so we've all revealed our secret shame, and we're not being judged at all.
I probably am.
You know, you would be, but that's all right. But look, you are honest with yourself, and that's the important thing, you know? What else can you do, right?
Exactly.
All right. Moving forward, Vicky's having a laughing fit here.
I'm still laughing at myself with the Kit Kat bar. I'm going to dine out on that for a while.
No, that's all right. Maybe it's something
good way
I should
to finish
develop.
The show, that is.
Exactly.
I am quite, I can't not mind, you know, speaking up and making a bit of a fool of myself because I'm
that's
just,
all right.
It's really hilarious.
It's and only most live think,
oh,
radio.
God, I'd never say that.
It's better you than me.
Right? No, I'm glad. See, I'm just trying to take the focus
you
off.
Are,
this is
I
your first
you
anniversary
yeah.
show and takes yeah. the pressure off you.
I appreciate that, Vicky. You're
and then
a good
I can
friend.
Be the stay yeah. scapegoat.
Matthew, just getting back to being a chef and you know, the difficulties of doing what you do, you know, I know there's a lot of people that kind of feel, or you know, they think it's easy because obviously you probably make it look easy and you know, those hard times in the kitchen and that sort of thing don't always come through when you're doing an interview or, you know, and nor should it, or even when you're walking through the restaurant, you know, you would have a smile on your face, that sort of thing. You know, what's the hardest thing, you know, with being a chef and doing all the things that you do and, you know, the commitments that you have, What would be the most difficult part of that for you, and how do you sort of find a bit of a balance?
Finding time's the hardest. I mean, when you start spreading yourself out through so many different things, I think finding time in the right places, and I mean, you know, finding time for the staff.
Yeah,
I'm very very much about staff development,
mm-hmm.
especially chefs, because one, I would not be able to do what I'm doing right now, sitting here.
Yeah,
interview, you know, on an interview with yourself yep. and lovely Vicky, or being able to do, you know, the aged care facility
yep.
or the cook at the Masters or my new project.
Yep.
So I really like to spend a lot of time in the staff, but I think balancing the time between sort of places and people is
yeah.
where I find myself in the hardest situation each day.
Yeah,
because obviously you have a lot of people to still impress and. A lot of people will look up to you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Especially the team. I mean, Morris Jones itself, we have 50 staff members.
Yeah.
So it's, like I said, it's a beast. And it's like to be there for 50 employees, you know, 12 of them being chefs, and that's not even including kitchen hands.
Right.
I feel like when you start moving it out and doing more, and Vicky would know this by having so many books and, you know, being on you know, working on different, you know, produce,
yeah.
Boards, etc. You know, finding time is my most difficult. But as soon as I walk through the restaurant, you know, the smile comes out and I'm happy. I mean, I get to do what I love to do every day. And, I mean, my biggest thing is about growth and personal
yep.
growth and career growth. And, you know, I have great people in Melbourne. I think Melbourne's one of the most known cities in the world now for some of the best food and best chefs. And you know, I like to call some of these guys, you know, friends, and like Shannon.
Yeah.
And even before we, you know, started talking, Adam De Silva brought us back in.
Yeah.
You know, that's him right. having, you know, looking up to him,
yep.
playing golf with him. You know, getting still learning and growing and
yeah.
trying to take everything. But you know, I think that's the most difficult thing for me is just balancing time and finding time. So,
and I guess it's also learning. I don't know, because I've. This is something that I've had to learn too, is that sometimes you have to say no, and it can be looked at as a negative thing, but you have to say no sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing to do that. If it's because you know, need to slow down or need to focus on something that's important to you at that point in time. And I think it's important to recognize that, because you know,
Gordon always taught me never to say no. So that's where I probably,
right.
probably where I've learned more the last 18 months is to be able to say no.
Yeah.
Because when you start doing so much, you can't be everywhere. You can't, do everything.
Yeah,
and I guess, I think that I find myself now saying no more, which is not very, you know, it's not something that I like to think very highly of and say no. But, you know, I think, like, I'm very much now valuing my time a lot more. So it's,
yeah, but I
say it a lot more often now.
It's probably more in the context of what you're saying no to as well. I mean, obviously, it's something very important you're not going to say no to. But if it's something that can wait, or if it might not work for you. You know, that's the other thing too. I mean, just accepting jobs and things like that to do, you have to really think about what you're doing, I guess, and making sure that it's right for the direction you want to be in.
And yeah, and I think Vicky sums it up earlier before we started. I think it's just the key is to be happy.
Yeah,
I think, and I mean, if you can do something and it will make you happy, then do it. But if, you know, happiness is the key for anything, I think.
Yeah, and love what you're doing.
In this life. So.
Absolutely. Very, very important. And I always thought, oh, I just keep getting reminded that, and that sounds funny, we're alive, like I'm alive. And people go, yeah, big deal. And I go, no, I'm alive. And then I'll work it out, whatever it is, because we've all had our challenges. And then I giggle and I go, and if I was dead, I wouldn't care. And that makes me giggle. And then I go back to what I was thinking about and I think, oh, and you end up solving the problem, or you go for a walk or whatever. But I think that human and your friends and the staff and the human beings around you that you meet day by day that you may even not even know their name, I think it's very powerful just to be respectful and not and try and enhance people's feeling of dignity, like the aged care facility, the menus, I think is very powerful. And just enjoying what you do, not wasting our life to acquire whatever or achieve whatever we think we should be doing, but just keep going back and reevaluating and not forgetting the humanness of what we do every day. And I think through your menus, you can touch a lot of people and you can give lots of chefs and staff a lot of opportunities and lead them by example.
That's the best thing about what we do.
It is. And you do leave an impact with every person that comes in your restaurant or reads your book or, you know, you do have that impact. And I think that's the important part of it all. You know, there's nothing that's insignificant and everything that you do matters. And
but we often think, but what, like, I'm just a little person who,
we're all just little people,
I'm just a little person who does the best with what I do and everything. And then you sort of think, oh, but how can I help with sharing your experiences and things like
that's
that
right.
Is what I'd love to do.
Absolutely. Wow, this hour has gone quick. Thank you so much for coming in and having a chat with me today. And I know Pete Dillon's probably you know,
shout,
I'm sure he's happy.
Pete, I hope you're well, mate.
Yeah, he would have liked to have been here, but he's taking that annual leave day, and that's cool. I hope he's having a great time. We will be back next week. Coming up next, after these announcements, is the Escape Pod. And thank you so much for coming in today. Really appreciate it.
Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.